Did you know that next to water, tea is the most widely consumed beverage on Earth? And as you know, when you're making tea, you first begin with clear, pure, hot water. Now when you see this hot water, think of it as your life before the truth of God comes in. And now today, to make tea, I'm using hand-picked, hand-rolled, whole-leaf oolong tea from Taiwan of the finest quality. So I want to make tea, so I have my hot water, then I pour in these tea leaves. And the leaves will very quickly begin to expand, and the essence of the leaves will spread throughout the hot water, transforming the hot water. Think of that as God's truth entering our lives, transforming us, infusing us, spreading to every part of who we are. Today we're going to learn that to be truth speakers, the truth speakers that God is calling us to be. We are people who are deeply changed by, transformed, people who live out, and people who speak God's truth. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I pray that as we gather around your word today, that you would speak to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us understand the truth speakers you are calling us to become. In your name we pray. Amen. For a number of months now, we've been allowing Ephesians chapter 4 to guide us as we study what it means to build a healthy church. Our church has decided that we're going to extend this theme into 2015 by adding a new emphasis. And so for 2015, our theme is living out the healthy church, with an emphasis on putting into practice these things that we're learning about the healthy church God is calling us to become. Last year, we learned about the leaders that God has given the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and the way he desires to use these leaders to build up the church. We learned that we as a church, both as a local church and as part of the global church of God throughout the world, are being shaped and led along a journey that has a four-part destination. As we become more and more the people God is calling us to be, we will increasingly experience unity of the faith, unity in our experience of the Son of God, maturity, and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, before the holidays, we learned that a symptom of this growth that we're experiencing along this journey as God is working within us, a symptom of this, a road sign along the way that encourages us and confirms that we're on the right track, is that we will no longer be easily influenced by the trends, the fads, the cultural winds around us. And we'll be less and less easily manipulated by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Christ calls us to hear his words, to put them into practice. And in this way, we're like a wise builder who's building our lives upon the rock. This week, Paul calls us to be truth speakers who offer an alternative to the trends, the fads, the cultural winds, the deception, and the manipulation around us. A truth speaker is one who is being radically transformed by the truth, who lives out the truth, and then who speaks the truth. A truth speaker is as radically transformed by the truth as water is transformed by tea leaves. Let's see that first slide. There's a picture of tea leaves. Now, when we discuss truth as Christians, we are indeed referring to facts about reality. But we are also referring to more than this. We must keep in mind that for the Christian, truth is first and foremost a person. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We must keep in mind that Jesus is the truth, that he reveals the truth to us, the facts about reality. And so we can never speak of truth as though it were something separate from Christ or additional to Christ. All truth is God's truth. And so even the truths of history, of philosophy, of science, and of mathematics find their proper place under the lordship of the one who is himself the truth, Jesus Christ. When I say that a truth speaker is one who is radically transformed by the truth, I'm referring to a life-altering encounter with Jesus Christ in which he becomes our Lord and our Savior. Such an encounter cannot be compartmentalized or put into a box and separated from the other areas of our lives, for it permeates, it infuses, and it transforms every part of who we are. When I put tea leaves into a cup of hot water, the leaves unfurl, the leaves open up, and they transform the water. In a similar way, Christ's presence in our lives as our Lord and Savior profoundly affects, infuses, and transforms us. Before we've had this encounter with Christ in which he becomes our Lord and our Savior, Paul tells us in verses 17 through 18 of our chapter for today that we are darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in us due to the hardening of our hearts. And he goes so far as to speak of the futility of our thinking apart from Christ. In other words, from God's perspective, before we enter this relationship with Christ in which he becomes our Lord and our Savior, our thinking is empty, meaningless, unprofitable, useless. But when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, the truth of God begins to change us. It begins to transform us, affecting every part of who we are, every area of our life. As this process unfolds, we receive wisdom that enables us to identify and avoid the trends, the fads, the cultural winds, the manipulation, and the deception around us. Romans 12:2 tells us, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In this way, God longs for us to be more than those who merely say the truth. In fact, in Isaiah 29:13, God grieves that his people come near to him with their mouths and they honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. A truth speaker hasn't just heard about the truth and doesn't just talk about it. A truth speaker is one who has been deeply and dramatically transformed by the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Second, truth speakers live out the truth. In other words, they communicate God's truth with their actions. By watching them, you gain a clearer picture of ultimate reality. The word that Ephesians 4:15 uses and that we translate as speaking the truth actually carries a much broader meaning. For it turns the word truth into a participle verb in action that we could translate as truthing. Truthing. In other words, it carries a sense of doing the truth. Or what are you doing today? Oh, I'm watching a football game. What are you doing? Oh, I'm truthing. I'm going to go out and do the truth. The picture is of Christians going out, going around, acting on the truth that they believe, doing things that illustrate and point to the truth revealed in Jesus Christ, demonstrating with their hands what God is doing in their hearts. Ultimately, we call this obedience. Throughout Scripture, we find a strong connection between truth and obedience. In Jeremiah 7:28, God pronounces judgment on his people by saying, "This is a nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips." You see, when God's people disobey, truth vanishes. It disappears. We cannot be a truth speaker if by our actions we do not display the truth of God through obedience. God intends for his truth to flow from our inside out, the way the fragrance of tea is an outward sign of the deeper transformation inside the cup. In Matthew 21:28-32, Jesus tells the parable of two sons. Their father goes up to the first one and tells him to wash the dishes and take out the trash. The son, though, replies disobediently, "I can't do it. I'm busy playing Minecraft." The father then goes up to the second son and tells him to wash the dishes and take out the trash. This son responds obediently by saying, "Okay, sure." But he isn't really obedient. He's just sneaky, right? He tries to avoid open confrontation with his dad by saying he'll do what his dad wants, but deep inside, the second son really has no intention of washing the dishes and taking out the trash. And so when the father leaves, the second son returns to sending messages on Snapchat, something none of you are doing right now. Later, though, the first son, who responded disobediently, begins to feel guilty. He remembers how hard his parents work and all they do for the family and how little he does in comparison to them. He begins to regret his disobedient words that he spoke to his father. And finally, he changes his mind, washes the dishes, and takes out the trash, doing the work that the father had asked him to do. Jesus then asks those listening to this story, which one of the two did what the father wanted? The people listening respond, "The first," they reply. In other words, obedient action, even when it is delayed, is much better than obedient speech that never leads to obedient action. A truth speaker is someone who is not only being deeply transformed by the truth who is Jesus Christ, a truth speaker is one who lives out the truth through obedient action. Finally, truth speakers allow their encounter with the truth, who is Jesus Christ, to so transform and renew them that they cannot help but share with their mouths the reality of who God is and what he has done. They not only exude and live out the truth, they actually open their mouths and say things that point other people to Jesus Christ. They speak the truth of God. In our own day, there's an unfortunate trend among young people, especially those who grow up in churches like ours, churches that preach and emphasize the truth of God found in God's Word. Sometimes in churches like ours, young people are tempted to react against what they perceive as the narrowness of God's truth by acting as though we just need to love other people and avoid saying anything that would make them feel uncomfortable. However, if we really live this way, then we're failing to live as a truth speaker, as the truth speakers that God is calling us to be. We are called to share with others the truth and the love of Christ. Indeed, one of the most loving things you can do for someone is let them know that God loves them, that He created them, and that Jesus died for them on the cross so that they can be forgiven and enter into a friendship with God. Just last week, I was talking to someone who, he's a Christian and he attends a different church, and he told me a story. He said that recently there was a newcomer at his church who had never heard anything about Christianity, who had never heard anything about Jesus Christ. And this newcomer attended the church for month after month for a very long time. And no one ever walked up to him and said, "Hey, what do you think about what you're learning here? Do you think you're ready to follow Jesus?" No one ever asked him that. Finally, after a long time went by, the topic came up, and he said, "Of course I would like to follow Jesus. I've been ready to follow Jesus for 2 months. Why is it that no one ever gave me this opportunity?" Romans 10, 13 through 14 tells us, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they ever hear without someone telling them?" To be a truth speaker is to be one so filled with and transformed by God's truth that we cannot help but open our mouths and speak this truth to others. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." You see, as Christ fills and infuses and transforms your life like that, as Christ is at work in your life, like tea leaves transform water, people are going to notice. People are going to see that there's something different about you. And they're going to ask, "What's up? What's going on? Why are you different? What is it that you have that makes you calm and content while the world around you rages?" The answer is Jesus Christ. A truth speaker is one who lets the world know. Last month we learned that apart from Christ, our lives are built on sand, and we are easily swayed this way and that by all kinds of falsehood. To live as a truth speaker is to shine out like a bright star in the darkness of our generation. To offer the world the word of life that we hold on to and that we hold out to others. By living as a truth speaker, we are allowing God to use us to direct others to the only truth, the person of Jesus Christ, so that they can build their house on the rock, so that they don't have to be deceived and manipulated and swayed this way and that by the falsehood around them. We must love the people around us enough to actually open our mouths and speak the truth. The year was 1991, and Dick Roach, a scout for the New York Yankees, had arrived at a high school in Battle Creek, Michigan. He was actually heading somewhere else, but decided on a whim to stop there at a talent identification camp held by some local coaches. He didn't expect to see anything special, but decided to take a look anyways. The New York Times continues the story. At the high school, a coach was conducting infield drills when he hit a ball into the hole between third and short. It looked as if it was going to dribble through to left field. When a wispy shortstop sprinted to his right, backhanded it, leaped into the air, and while leaning backward, contorted his body into a single fluid throwing motion that culminated with the balls whistling into the glove of the first baseman. Groach exclaimed, "That's a major league play." Can anyone guess who Groach saw that day? Derek Jeter. What's most interesting about Groach's scouting report that day is that it contains more than simply high marks for Derek Jeter's baseball skills. It claims that Jeter had something more, an attitude, a composure that matched the ethos of the New York Yankees ball club. And so Groach wrote, after only watching Derek Jeter for 45 minutes, he's a Yankee. As Jeter's composure on the field demonstrated that he belongs with the New York Yankees, God intends for his truth to so shine forth from our lives that people can see from a distance that you and I belong to Christ. This morning, I pray that each one of us will embrace our calling as a truth speaker. I pray that we will allow the truth of God's word to cut deeply to the core of our hearts, to transform us, to infuse us as tea leaves in water with the truth, who is Jesus Christ. As we are transformed, may we live out God's truth through obedience. Finally, may God's truth so fill our lives that we cannot help but open our mouths, say uncomfortable things, speak the truth of God, and give the people around us the chance, the opportunity to respond to God's love and God's grace. Would you pray with me? Jesus, it is never easy to be a truth speaker. And even today throughout the world, there are Christians who are literally dying because they are obeying their calling to be a truth speaker. And Lord, even though we might not die here in the U.S., there's other ways it feels like death, when maybe we're shunned by a friend. Maybe we don't appear as cool as we want to be. Where maybe people look at us weird and say, "I don't need that." But Lord, you call us to be a truth speaker, to share your love and truth with the people around us, so that they have the chance to accept your word. Lord, we ask you for the grace, the strength, and the empowerment we need to obey this high calling. In Jesus' name, amen.